So, it's been an interesting inner journey to write a Palm Sunday message. To find my way into this liminal space of a day that marks the end of Lent and the beginning of Holy Week, this sacred time for Christians that leads to Easter and the resurrection. Interesting to hear the voice of my inner roommate pointing out so many observations. You're not a scripture scholar. How are you going to preach about the gospel stories of Jesus entering Jerusalem? You're not a metaphysician. What can you possibly say about the metaphors of donkey, palm, crowd, and king? And for heaven's sake, you're lugging a lot of baggage around these days about the very word Christian. So how are you going to handle these most Christian of holy days ahead? And you're an interfaith minister, for crying out loud. What about Ramadan and Passover? Interesting inner journey to politely tell my inner roommate to pipe down. And then to turn to the familiar, messy, oh-so-rich spiritual practice of the thinking, reading, praying, meditating, pacing, and writing that goes into these weekly messages. In all that wrestling with angels that I do each week, because that does seem to be my practice, you are with me. I feel your presence. Visualize us together. And my prayer is always that somehow my practice, my deepening, my wrestling, will invite you to find an insight or two that echoes in your life and heart. So, inner roommate, I may not be an expert, but I am a seeker. I am a listener. I am a dancing daughter of the divine. And here, my beloved community, is where my heart landed on this Palm Sunday. And here are the other voices of God that walked with me in the way of love. The other day I listened to Krista Tippett's interview with the late Eugene Peterson that originally aired in 2016. Peterson was a Presbyterian pastor for nearly three decades, and writer of over 30 books, but is probably most famous for The Message, the Bible in Contemporary Language, which I have never read. But I learned about it in the podcast. I am not an expert, but I am a listener. There was so much beauty in their conversation, but several things struck me and gave me an entry point into the Palm Sunday scriptures. First, I loved that Peterson's morning practice includes being quiet with his coffee, because that is also my practice. And second, he has a deep head. He passed away a couple of years ago from this realm. Second, he had a deep love of poetry and how its music enters the mind and grabs you by the jugular. And that too resonated. And Psalms were his entry into poetry. As a young boy of about 10 or so, and his wrestling with them over time to come to the understanding of poetry as music that grabs us. And so that was an entry point for me into the Psalms, into this psalm today, to expand my musical ability to hear it. Peterson shared this wisdom. All the prophets are poets. And if you don't know that, you try to literalize everything and make a shambles out of it. Yeah.
Could you repeat that?
Yes. All the prophets are poets. And if you don't know that, you try to literalize everything and make a shambles of it. Whew. There's my sermon right there. A metaphor, he says, is really a remarkable kind of formation because it both means what it says and what it doesn't say. And so those two things come together and it creates an imagination which is active. You're not trying to figure things out. You're trying to enter what is there. I could lay down my need to be an expert in anything and just enter in. So let's enter together into what's there. The music of Psalm 118 and the Gospel of Matthew. In the lectionary this year, it's the Gospel of Luke. It was fascinating to re-remember that those gospel accounts are so similar with some interesting variations. But the Gospel of Matthew is where I wanted to take us today. So hear the music of these ancient and timeless words again, and just enter in with no need to figure anything out. Oh, give thanks to the Eternal One, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, God's steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Holy One. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Eternal One's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that our God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Most High God. We bless you from the house of the Holy One. The God of all has given us light. Bind the festal procession with ropes of branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will exult in you. Oh, give thanks to the Eternal One, for God is good. For God's steadfast love endures forever. And from Matthew. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately. This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the poet prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." As we enter the gates of Jerusalem with Jesus on a colt and the crowd singing Hosanna, waving palm branches to the king and conqueror, what are our expectations and understandings of this historic Jesus and the eternal Christ we carry within? How do our own shouts move from the Hosanna of Palm Sunday to the Crucify Him of Good Friday and the Alleluias of Easter Sunday? Mark Longhurst writes in True and False Selves on Palm Sunday, "On some days, I sing praise from my heart, and I shout Hosanna. Other days, I'm less hopeful, and it feels overwhelming to choose the way of love, the way of justice. I, too, become swept up in the moment's loudest crises, swayed by what horror or false hope is stringing people along today. In these moments, I am not living from my true Christ identity, my true self. I am not grounded. I am defending my opinions and seeking to be right." I am not living from my true Christ identity. I am not grounded. I am defending my opinions and seeking to be right. But this defended self, the self we protect and with which we seek safety and belonging, is not ultimate. He continues, "We can have sympathy with the crowds then and now, looking for Jesus to liberate or save them with a quick fix." "We can have sympathy for the many people across the world today tempted towards nationalism, those who think that a strong man will somehow save them. The effects are catastrophic, but the desire is human. And the impulse comes from a false sense of identity, from forgetting who we are. The true self lives in union with God and the world. It sees that our deepest reality is not about me, but about oneness. And whatever diminishes that oneness is the false self. Longhurst quotes Richard Rohr, saying to us that Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is not only the historical Jesus, what we can extract from texts with rational minds. Christ is not only a loving presence that lives in my heart. Christ is the spiritual dimension of reality, or the unfolding unity of the entire world in which my deepest self participates. These days, of course, such unity is hard to come by, but the world's many crises do not make it less real or true. The true self lives in union with God and the world. It sees that our deepest reality is about oneness. And whatever diminishes that oneness is the false self, our small s self. Christ is the spiritual dimension of reality, the unfolding unity of the entire world, in which my deepest self participates. My mom sent me that article on Friday.
Thanks, Mom.
After we had talked about Palm Sunday and what that means to her and what Holy Week means to my mother and father, my folks came with me to meet Pat at Fadigan's, and then we went on together to O'Connor's Church Goods, where my mom spent 20 minutes talking to everybody there because she knows everybody, because we had to pick up our palms for this service here today. Today, oneness is the easy reminder of sharing time and sacred talk with my parents. It's even the legacy of seeing the Infant of Prague statues at O'Connor's that reminded me of my grandparents and the legacy of the faith of my childhood. It's the generous gift of new green life in this space. Oneness is in the language of poetry and a shared coffee as sacred libation ritual with a man I only met through his voice on a podcast. Oneness is the same cycle of the moon that dictates the timing of Easter and Ramadan and Passover. Oneness is seeing the Christ too in those I would crucify with my anger and absencing. It is seeing myself as whole in the great mystery of the eternal Holy One, no matter how often my small S self and my inner roommates lead me away from that truth. What would happen if we stayed awake to that oneness? If we saw the gift and meaning of the story of Jesus as the reminder that the Holy One is presence, and so is present with us in every moment, in every circumstance, in every being, in every blessing that rips the illusion of separation from our eyes, our hands, our hearts. This is the blessing of living into our shared vision and mission as a beloved community. Coming together imperfectly, perhaps, but trusting the oneness of our Christ selves. What would happen if we truly stayed awake? May we enter the mystery together and find the very blessing we need to meet us in every moment, to be that blessing to each other. And I invite you now to hold your palms in your hands, and if you don't have them, come and get some. And actually, somebody pass some of them up to me here. I left mine at my seat. Thank you, my friend. And for those of you at home, if you don't have palms, if you live locally, come by church and get them. If you live far away, let me know. I can airlift some to you. So let me close with the music of this poem from the prophet Jan Richardson, Blessing of Palms. This blessing can be heard coming from a long way off. This blessing is making its steady way up the road toward you. This blessing blooms in the throats of women, springs from the hearts of men, tumbles out of the mouths of children. This blessing is stitched into the seams of the cloaks that line the road, etched into the branches that trace the path, echoes in the breathing of the willing colt, the click of the donkey's hoof against the stones. Something is rising beneath this blessing. Something will try to drown it out. But this blessing cannot be turned back, cannot be made to still its voice, cannot cease to sing its praise, cannot cease to sing its praise of the one who comes along the way it makes. And so it is. Amen.